Pastor Abe is going to continue delivering the message on the book of Acts, chapter 18. Last week, we talked about 17, we talked about Paul in Athens. So today, our scripture reading is from Acts chapter 18, from verse 1 to verse 17, which is in your insert. So just follow along as I read that passage. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 17. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. Now, Pontus is on the south shore of the Black Sea, just in case you don't know, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudia had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogues, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. "This man," they charge, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, and the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul, and Gallio showed no concern whatsoever.
Thank you, Nicholas, for reading scripture for us. And so, Lord God, we want to just commit this reading of scripture, and in just a moment, the expounding and the preaching of your word to you. Father, we know that your word is life and your word is truth. And I pray that you'll help us this morning to just be in a place where we can allow your truth to enter into our lives, to allow your word to stay with us, to allow us, O Lord Jesus, to hear you clearly this morning as you, by your Spirit, open up scripture to us. We thank you, God. Invite your presence as we listen and as we are in a posture, Lord Jesus, of receiving from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for sticking out with us all this time and through the book of Acts. It's been probably the longest series we've done ever. It's been more than a year now, and we're going to be close to finishing in just a couple months' time. Welcome those of you who are new to us, who are visiting with us from another church, or just visiting on holidays. I know some of you are here in that situation. But we will be looking at Acts chapter 18 as we just read, and just trying to hear and learn what the Lord may want to say to us this morning. You know, the news of Robin Williams' sudden death last week due to suicide has shocked the world. It was something that no one expected. It's not supposed to happen to someone like him. Here's an extremely gifted actor and comedian who was known for making people laugh. for being human, for bringing joy in people's lives, for being an inspiration as he touched the lives of many throughout the world. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that he felt this way about himself? That he felt this way about his life? That he felt so alone, depressed, so discouraged about life? In today's passage, the Apostle Paul comes to Corinth feeling tired, feeling discouraged, feeling alone. Because of all the hardships that he's faced, he has been stoned nearly to death, we read. He had been stripped. He had been beaten severely and unjustly. He was thrown into prison. And despite having been called by God to go to Macedonia to preach the gospel, all the cities that he went to, he was driven out of, whether it be Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. And last week, his ministry in Athens that we read about was not very fruitful either. Paul was spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically run down. He was worn. He was tired. He was discouraged. Have you ever felt that way before? Maybe you've been looking after a loved one who's been sick for a while now. Or maybe you've been sick yourself. And there's been wave after wave after wave of sadness, of difficulty, of discouragement, of bad news. And you feel like you can't go on anymore. When are things ever going to turn around, you may ask. Or maybe you've been serving in ministry year after year after year. And in some sense, you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling tired. You're feeling alone. Because you don't see the results. You don't see the numbers. You feel the weight of ministry coming upon you. You feel the weight and the burden of life getting heavier and heavier. And you're overcome. It's been a long time, a long haul for you. And you're not getting any younger. You know, when we're young, we can rebound from things that much quicker. You're feeling like people are against you everywhere you turn. Does what I even do matter? Does anyone really care? We can see here that Paul was definitely at one of his low points in his life. It says in Acts chapter 18, verse 1, after this, and that is after his speech to the Areopagus, which we looked at last week, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And so it was about this journey, it was about this trip to Corinth that Paul later wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling." I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Well, when we read this verse in 1 Corinthians, we ask ourselves, are we reading about the right person? Are we talking about Paul, the bold evangelist, the strong and zealous man of God? Who would have thought? Who would have thought that he would feel this way? Who would have thought the great Apostle Paul would be weak? He'd be filled with so much fear, so much trembling. Now, what was it about Corinth that intimidated Paul anyways? Well, first, it was the pride of the people of Corinth. It was their intellectual arrogance, which Paul mentioned several times in his letter to the Corinthians. They were proud of their city. You know, their city was totally rebuilt in 46 BC by Julius Caesar. They were proud of their wealth, proud of their culture. And as well, Corinth was known for its immorality. You know, the verb to Corinthianize actually means to be sexually immoral, to live a promiscuous life, to engage in immorality. And so this was the reputation that was still around when Paul was in Corinth. You know, the people of Corinth would worship Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. And as many as 1,000 women would walk the streets at night as prostitutes in Corinth. Corinth had been called the vanity fair of the Roman world, the Las Vegas of its time. It was a great city. It was a city of great commerce, of trade. It was a cosmopolitan city. But as well, it was a city full of pride, full of immorality, full of idolatry. And Paul arrived in Corinth as a tired, discouraged, fearful, and a man who felt alone. He was discouraged at his own situation. And he was discouraged at the people and the city in which the Lord wants him to minister in. But in this passage of Scripture that Nicholas just read for us, in this passage, we see various instances here in which Paul was greatly encouraged by God. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. Paul, first of all, was encouraged by Christian friendship. He was encouraged by Christian friendship. Verse 2, it says, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul had met some new friends in Aquila and Priscilla. They shared the same work. They were tent makers or leather workers. They had the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in referring to Aquila and Priscilla, Paul later said in Romans 16, Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Paul considered Aquila and Priscilla his close and loyal friends. There are people that he can trust, people that he would consider taking with when he goes away on mission trips. He had spent 1.5 years with them. He had lived with them and served with them. You get to know people quite well, having lived that long. And yet he still found them to be faithful and true and worthy of his friendship. Aquila and Priscilla were like a mentoring couple to Paul. And we're going to see a lot more of them next week as we look into the rest of chapter 18. Secondly, Paul also was encouraged by his old friends, Silas and Timothy, who had rejoined them. They have now come back from Berea, from Macedonia, after the ministry that they had there, and they rejoined Paul. You know, when you serve together with other believers, you develop a close bond that could not have taken place if you had not served together. Especially those of you who we've been serving with over the last few years. You know, we've developed a close bond. And especially those of you who've been around Fraserlands for the last 23 years. And we're more than just fellow believers. We're fellow workers in Christ Jesus who would do almost anything and everybody have done almost anything for each other. I want to show you this picture. I just want to give it a bit of a context to this. You know, this was taken on Community Day just a few weeks ago. And so the fire truck came and there's spraying water and all that. You know, for those of us who've been together all these years at Fraserlands, those of you who are close friends, you know, we've gone through good times and bad times together. We've gone to dry times and not so dry times together, both literally and figuratively speaking. We've gone through highs and lows together, births and deaths together, changes and transitions together. And we remain encouraged because of our spiritual friendship in Christ. And we all need the encouragement and the mutual edification of a small group. We do. If Paul himself, the great evangelist, the great apostle, needs encouragement, how much more do we, as his believers, need encouragement? We need each other in life and in ministry. We make lasting friends when we serve together in the body of Christ. It's as if we're battling together for the Lord, and indeed, we are to an extent. Do you have people in your life who you pray with, who pray for you? Do you have people in your life who mentor you, who disciple you, who speak the truth to you? Do you have people in your life who encourage you and who support you? I want to urge you. I want to urge you to either be that to someone or to have someone be that to you. The Lord gives us Christian friends so that we can encourage one another through life and through ministry. And secondly, Paul is encouraged by God's provision. He was encouraged by God's provision. I'm going to read from the end of verse 5 to verse 8. Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. When the synagogue doors were closed to Paul, because of the opposition and abuse that he was receiving from the Jews, God opened the door of the home next to the synagogue, the house of Titius Justus, for Paul to do ministry and to preach there. And many came to faith and were baptized. The Bible says Crispus and his entire household believed and were baptized. When it seems like things are closed shut, the Lord opened the way and provided an avenue for Paul to preach. I don't know what situations of life you are in regards to your personal life, in regards to your work situation, in regards to your education. And maybe you just recently found out that you no longer have a job at work. And maybe you found out that your situation at home is not what you thought it would be. And maybe your future, your education right now is unclear because things are closed. Have certain doors been closed in your life? If so, God will open another door for you. He will open another way for you. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And thirdly, Paul was encouraged by the Lord's presence. Verse 9. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, if you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he drove them off. In time of great fear, in time of great uncertainty and discouragement, Jesus appeared to Paul in a vision. And he encouraged them with the promise that his presence will be with him. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. Keep on doing what I've been asking you to do, for I am with you. Elsewhere in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 28, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus assured Paul of his presence and that no harm would come to him. Now this promise that's given to Paul was not that he would be protected from harm. That was the promise. Be protected from harm. Not that he'll be free from all attacks and all difficulties. And like Paul, there'll be times in our lives when people will attack us. They will attack us because of our faith, because of our beliefs, because of what the Lord has asked us to do. Whether it's to speak out for him or to stand up for justice, for righteousness, for truth in our world. You know, speaking for and acting on behalf of orphans and widows. You know, acting on behalf of the poor, the elderly, the sick amongst us. Acting on behalf of abused women and children. You know, the shooting deaths of innocent citizens that we hear about on the news. What does the Lord want you to say? What does the Lord want to say through you? Now, there have been times in my life where I really felt God wanted me to stand up for something. And I've been attacked. Had people say things, write things, and I was discouraged. I was more than discouraged. No human soul could comfort me. And so I felt like this for months on end. And as I was taking a walk along the river, just down here one day, as I was walking and just sharing my heart with the Lord, just letting out my deep feelings to the Lord, I felt the very near presence of God. I felt the very near presence of Jesus walking alongside of me, comforting me, encouraging me, like soothing my soul that no human words would ever do. Lord Jesus said, I am with you always. And for those of you who may be going through that season in your life right now, I encourage you to listen to the still small voice of God in your life, in your situation, in the areas that he has placed you, in which he wants you to speak out for him, to not be afraid, to not be silent, and to allow the Spirit of God to use you in ways that you'd never think possible. Paul is asked to continue to witness, to continue to proclaim Christ, because the very presence and the very protection of the Lord will be with him because of God's people. And here we read that Jesus kept his promise to protect Paul. As Gallio, the proconsul, was the means by which he saved Paul. And Gallio dismissed the charge that was brought against Paul by directing the Jews to settle the matter themselves. Now, this really shows to me, it shows to us, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God in all situations of life. As he even influences those who have been given power to lead. The Lord can influence those who've been given power to lead and to govern. It says in Proverbs 21, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And then the last verse, verse 17. Then the crowd turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. When I first read this verse, I said, really, Lord? You want the message to end on this note? Have you read the Bible before? You know, you're doing your daily readings and you get to a certain point and you go, God, really? You want me to go to work with this verse in mind? And I really thought that to myself about a week ago. I said, God, you want me to encourage the congregation with this word, with this verse? That Sosthenes, the synagogue leader who is not a Christian, was beaten up by the Jews who could not stand the message of Christ being preached. You want that to be the last word that people leave today? And when you ask those questions to God respectfully, I think he gives you an answer sometimes. Not all times. Sometimes it takes longer. But I want to tell you, I think the Lord revealed something to me, which I want to gladly share with you. I know those of us who are sitting here, we're so used to the paper in front of us for Bible reading and even our phones, that I want you to take the Bible in front of you, okay? The Bible in front of your pew or behind you if you're sitting in front row. Take your Bible, and I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians, so we're in Corinth, right? Paul's been in Corinth. He's been ministering in Corinth. He's talking to the Corinthian people. And in 1 Corinthians, he writes to the Corinthians years later about his ministry there and about what God has done. Open your Bible, flip open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And the reason I want you to do this is because I don't want you to say, well, Pastor Abe, are you sure that's what the Bible says? Well, you know, it's right in front of you. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother, Sosthenes. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother, Sosthenes. You know, when you're a synagogue leader, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Could this be the same Sosthenes that after he was beaten by the crowd, that Paul reached out to him and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, and he came to faith? I would like to believe that. I would like to believe that because Paul himself was greatly encouraged by God because of his Christian friends, because of God's provision for his ministry, because of the Lord's very presence in his life, that because God had encouraged Paul, that he himself encouraged Sosthenes, even after he was beaten. That Paul reached out to Sosthenes after he was beaten by the crowd, shared with him the love of God and the hope that he has in Christ, that Sosthenes then turned to the Lord in faith, believed, and was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a co-worker with Paul in ministry. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God can do in a person's life? Now, isn't that an image, a picture, a story that we can leave with today? If you are encouraged, if you are discouraged, if you are tired, if you are alone, if you are beaten up by the things of life, aren't these beautiful pictures of what we can see in Paul's life, in Sosthenes' life, in the life of anyone who desires to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ever ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us? And so, the Lord may be saying to you this morning, as he did to Paul, I know you're tired. I know you're fearful. I know you feel alone, that your future is uncertain, that you may be discouraged, greatly discouraged. But do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have many people in the city of Vancouver who will do my bidding, who allow the will of God to be done in their lives and thus in your life. Let's pray together, shall we? So, Lord God, I come to you today, recognizing that you are God and we are not. Recognizing that you are the God of this universe, who's sovereign over all creation, who has the hand of the leaders of this world in your hand, who directs their paths, who directs the streams of water at your will. And so, Lord Jesus, even though we look around our world and we may be discouraged at what we see, we look at the disease, the Ebola that's been spreading. Look at the situation in Iraq, oh Lord Jesus, and the Christians that are there. We look at our own life situations, our loved ones who are going through extremely difficult health situations. We look at the teacher strike that's looming going into the fall. And God, when we look at all these things and we put them all together, sometimes we truly feel like we are helpless. We may become discouraged. We may become weak, fearful, and we may tremble. Lord God, help us to see you as who you really are. Even now, this morning, give us that glimpse of your holiness. Give us that glimpse, O Lord Jesus, of your sovereign power, your perfect will. That you are trustworthy and true. That despite circumstances in our world, in our lives, in our city, we place our hope in no one else but you. We go forward with the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of this universe, is in control. And we thank you, God. We thank you for how you have encouraged the Apostle Paul. We thank you, God, that through him, as he was encouraged, he was able, Lord Jesus, to be strengthened and encourage others. Lord God, would you do that for us and to us today? May we see you, Lord Jesus, in a different light. And even as we continue to worship you as we sing this last song, oh Father, help us to believe what we sing. Help us to recognize, oh Lord Jesus. And know that you are God. To be still and to know that you are God. Let's just read this verse together in Isaiah 35 before we sing. I ask you to stand with us right now and let's read this together. The prophet Isaiah, as the Lord speaks through him to his people. Let's read this together. Isaiah 35. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. He will come to save you.